Welcome to the tax update for the month of April, and in this month's edition we have seven items, the first of which is just a warning. The HMRC have now obtained access to the eight major merchant acquirer businesses and are able to look at credit and debit details, which enables HMRC to check that businesses are declaring all of their income from credit cards and debit cards, and it will also help HMRC to understand more about the business and the compliance profile of businesses. So it should improve their enforcement regime and detection of fraud, but it smacks to me of Big Brother watching. And it's important that clients bear in mind now that this will be visible. Some good news is that HMRC are trying to help taxpayers, and they publish regularly the employer bulletin, of which issue 47 has just been published, and at 44 pages it's a worthwhile read. Now, as usual, this podcast is accompanied by detailed notes which can be downloaded, and those notes contain links to further research and the original documentation should you wish to do it. Some good news for lorry drivers who are self-employed and indeed employees is that the overnight subsistence allowance available to lorry drivers is £34.90 for drivers who are required to obtain accommodation. And for those drivers with a sleeper cab, it's £26.20. And HMRC accept that items of this amount paid to long-distance lorry drivers does not create a tax liability, because it just is a reasonable reimbursement of subsistence and evening meals, washing facilities and the upkeep of bedding linen. It's important, if you've got clients in the haulage industry, that you keep up to date with these developments. HMRC has also published draft legislation on the finance bill proposals to deem certain members of limited liability partnerships who basically might appear to be employees because they have a very fixed profit reward scheme, to be employees. Those at risk are salaried partners who do not really have much of their income varied by profit fluctuations in the partnership, and who lack significant management control, and who have a less than 25% of their annual profit share amount in their capital account. There's a lot of guidance and development here, and it creates a fiscal fiction which could have serious consequences to limited liabilities partnerships, because it deems these members of the partnership to be employees, and that imposes a class one primary and secondary liability onto the partnership to treat these people as if they're employees. And of course, if they've got a car as well, this would then create class one national insurance liability as well. So there's four pages of legislation and four pages of explanatory notes. There's also guidance in the finance bill provisions for controlled foreign companies. And again, this is a developing area, because we know that there's going to be new draft legislation put forward. But at the moment, Parliament's in recess and won't reconsider until the 29th of April. So keep an eye out, and if you want the latest updates, follow the links. HMRC have also published a technical note on the taxation of corporate debt and derivative contracts. And if this is something that's of interest, remember that changes started in Finance Bill 2014, and change will continue, and we can expect more change in 2015. So it's an area where you need to keep an eye out. But to end with a piece of good news, there's a very interesting decision between HMRC and the executors of Lord Howarth of Henderscalf. And this has come out in the Court of Appeal this year. And it's a unanimous decision, so it's legal precedent. It's very interesting, because Lord Howarth died in 1984, and in 2001 his executors sold an old master which was painted in 1775, so that's a painting that's 226 years old, and they sold it for £9.4 million at auction at Sotheby's. So HMRC wanted capital gains tax, but the interesting argument was whether this painting could be a wasting asset. Now, the company which operates Castle Howard and trades making it available to the public has a finding of fact that its trade includes the making available to members of the public and exhibiting works of art to the visiting public. And that's an important finding of fact. There was actually no formal agreement between the late Lord Howard or indeed his executors that allowed the company to continue to display the painting on its wall. But the company did have responsibility for bearing all the costs of insurance, maintenance, restoration and any security arrangements that were required. But as I say, it didn't pay anything to the executors, and in fact, it didn't claim any capital allowances. So the question was whether this could be a wasting asset, and you might begin by saying, well, if it's already 226 years old, it's unlikely to be have a wasting asset which is has a expected life of 50 years or less. But that's where we get into the interesting bit about tax, because in fact, the legislation deems plant to be a wasting asset, the consequence of which is, was this painting plant used by the company? Now, HMRC's argument would be, but the executors own the painting, and they aren't trading, and they aren't deriving any income. But going back to the point, it was plant because it's part of the company's trade to exhibit works of art to the visiting public. And consequently, they got the exemption, which meant that the whole disposal consideration was free of capital gains tax. Now give this some thought. If you've got some clients with old masters, this is an opportunity of being able to basically shelter potential gains by making it part of the trading activity to display these things. So this is definitely worth a read, and there is a link to the full decision and Court of the Appeal. Remember, it was a unanimous judgment as well, so it's a worthwhile read. Thanks very much for listening.